welcome our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome you to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. And thank you for coming as we seek to worship and serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. The first are we're still collecting monetary donations and gift cards instead of toys and clothing for our 2021 Angel Tree. Please use Visa, MasterCard, or Walmart-branded cards, and please make any checks payable to Cook's Church and mark them with the Angel Tree in the memo line. All gifts need to be in by no later than December 12th.
Jason,
yes?
Do we put them in the offering plate, or where do we put them?
I think, Jeannie, they could figure that out. Ginger's in the hall. If the memo line is marked, or the money is in an envelope and marked. I think, yeah, that would work. Now, Ginger may kill me, but that, you know, we'll figure it out. Don't worry. The December community meal is this week, too, on December the 9th. The menu is ham, potato salad, peas, and carrots, and as always, a dessert. I don't know, do we know whether this is going to be dine in or dine out? What?
Drive-through.
Okay, so this one's a drive-through. Just keep that in mind, guys. Cook Circles meet on Tuesday, December the 14th. All women are invited to the home of P.D. Self at 6:30 p.m. on December 14th. Kids, we'll move forward with that. We've got the Bible challenge going on. If you memorize all 66, you get a gift card. That's pretty good. All 66 books, that is. Finally, we hope that you all join us for the Christmas Eve worship service at 5 p.m. on December 24th. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary this morning are in memory of Betty Peck and Barbara Hedgepeth by Lyle and Bonnie Pace. So we thank them for that. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time, other than the fact that we will conclude our service just a little bit early because we have a congregational meeting today that's been announced twice? So what we'll do, if you're a member of Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church, is at the end of the service we'll give a little beat for folks to leave if they wish. You're welcome to stay and hear us vote on our incoming elder class. Please know that you're welcome to stay, but if you wanted to find out what was going on at lunch at the, you know, buffets, that might be a good idea too. Anyway, those are the announcements I have. Do you all have any announcements this morning? Okay, hearing none, let us prepare our hearts and minds for the worship of God on this, our second Sunday of Advent.
A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Almighty God, thank you for delivering us safely into this season of reflection and anticipation. As we walk through this blessed season, continue to shower upon us your wisdom, blossoming as this morning visibly for us as the flower of hope. Fill our hearts with a great desire to make your holy and everlasting name known here in our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.
Let us pray. Gracious and heavenly Father, we just pray to you this morning and thank you for delivering us safely into this day, into this month, and into this season of reflection and anticipation. Oh Lord, as we encounter this, your second week of the Advent season, we pray especially that the peace of your Holy Spirit would descend upon us all so that we may, on a daily basis, wonderfully accept the peace that comes from our Lord and Savior and the power that it gives us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we make these prayers. Amen. I invite everyone who is desirous of standing to join me in the singing of hymn number 93 in our hymnal. In our hearts and in our minds. And the fact of the matter is it's we who are acutely aware that we fall short of our robust desires. And yet what we worship and who we seek today is none other than the one who knows not only the successes, the joys, the strengths, and the gifts, but who knows and accepts and still loves us all despite our sin. As that love grows in us, we learn to confess our shortcomings, which we do corporately using a prayer of confession, and then allowing ourselves a few moments with which to commune with God to confess our individual shortcomings this week. I invite you now to join me in the prayer of confession located in this morning's bulletin. Holy Lord, in this time of Advent, we are often distracted by the season's busyness, by the stress of the commitment, and even by putting our traditions instead of the true meaning of Christmas. We confess we also prefer being sentimental to being sacrificial. Forgive us for all the times we have missed seeing you in our midst, for all the times we have doubted your presence, and for all the times we have failed to hold to others' holy days. Pour peace into our lives, and let us be bearers of your peace to others. Remind us that this is the season of waiting and preparation for the greatest gift of all. In the holy name of our Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen. It's through the waters of our baptism that we tangibly intersect with the awareness that we are the forgiven people of God. There is great joy, there is great adulation, there is great hope and rejoicing when we realize that, friends, every single one of our sins are forgiven. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. We now affirm our faith using ancient words, the words of the Apostles' Creed. Join me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, and in earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and he sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in our reflective hymn number 400. Come now to a time especially for children, and Dina is going to lead us, I thought. Maybe I misunderstood. Mike is feeling under the weather. Come on down, kids, I'll do it. What? Say that again, Dale. Oh, right. Oh, okay. Well, she's got something prepared, and I'll just be going off the top of my head, so... Right? Hers would be a lot better. Have a seat. Wow. Well, children, you know, today we're going to talk about peace and the peace of Jesus Christ and what a great feeling it is to be peaceful. Now, what are some of your most peaceful times? Maybe it's when you're in your room, or no? What are your most peaceful times, Lillian? Sleep. Okay, well, that's pretty peaceful for sure. What about you, Aiden?
When I'm in my room playing games, because when I'm sleeping, I kick.
Okay, so you're a restless sleeper, and you feel more relaxed playing a game or two. That makes sense. Well, everybody finds their own peace in some ways. Some folks cook, some folks run, some folks pray and meditate to achieve it. But the thing that we keep in mind in the Christian faith is that our peace runs through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ tells us to be, first of all, Jesus Christ is known as the Prince of, what's the word I'm looking for? Prince of Peace, right? And that's pretty peaceful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What? Say that again, Ben. All right. Okay. Well, when I think about not being peaceful, I think generally about things that have me fearful or scared. you know, when I see things that trouble me. I get anxious sometimes, and I think that's pretty normal. I think everyone does. But what the scriptures tell us is to cast all of our fears on Jesus. And so in that process, you find peace because you might be afraid of spiders. No, not spiders. What are we afraid of, guys? The dark?
Used to.
Yeah, look, I still am a little bit. Give me a nightlight. That's what I say.
I have to sleep with the light on because I can't sleep with the dark because I feel like someone's always watching me.
Yeah, you know, I slept with the light on in my closet for a lot of years, Aiden. I had a light in the closet, yeah. We turned it on so that I could see. Anyway, guys, let's say a quick prayer and thank Jesus for the peace that we have. Dear God, we thank you for the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for peacefulness in our lives and in our day-to-day activities. Heavenly Father, as we seek your peace through Jesus Christ, enable us to be peaceful people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. It's great having the choir back in the loft, because the thing is, what I do is I imagine myself as being the voice that's blending between Don's lower notes and Freddie's tenor, right? So I sound great, right? I sound great. Well, y'all do for sure, and I appreciate that. We come now into a time in which we prepare ourselves for the reading and proclamation of Scripture. We do so We do so in prayer. We pray because we believe that the Holy Spirit equips us to understand the Scriptures more completely. We, left to our own devices, are likely to hear what we wish to hear in the Word. And the Spirit is the correcting force and influence in our hearts that allows them to soften and let go of even the things that we hold most dear that are the most abhorrent to God. So join me now as we pray, asking for that Spirit illumination. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life, breathe into us that we might hear your word of truth this very day. Draw us into communion with you, O Lord. Enable us to love. Conspire to make us one with you for the world you so deeply love. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is Malachi 3, 1 through 4, on page 950 in your pew Bible. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in the days gone by, as in former years.
I want to point out, Mike Stanford, who was going to do our children's sermon, is sick today, and he was sending Dina, and my guess is that she just got roped into doing the nursery. And so I apologize, that was not the best children's sermon. Right? Rambling and mess. Hopefully the real one won't be that way. Might be, you never know. Well, I will tell you that it really was, it has been, I should say, just like a complete blast to be here at Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church, and especially to hang out with the guys, right? Because, you know, I've served predominantly like, I don't know how you'd say this, white-collar congregations, right? And there's kind of a milquetoast thing going on there, and that's all right. I can fit in with milquetoast, right? But the thing is, the guys here work for a living, a lot of them. And I'll tell you what, they know how to fix things, right? Which my wife can tell you is not a really good strength of mine. But what's neat is when those guys start to talking about fixing things, right? They start using technical words. And I'm going to make a confession to you today. I don't have any idea what they're saying. But the thing is, I know they're fixing a problem, and that's what matters. Fixing problems. You know, the thing is, I've kind of embraced that about myself. I was talking about it with one of our congregants earlier today. I have in my nature a desire to fix the world. My wife can tell you. I can come up with plans at the drop of a hat. The thing is, that's not your first step in fixing a problem. You might want to be to leap to the solution, to get to the good stuff. But one of the things that we learn about this fixing of things is that you have to start with the first step. The first step is the most consequential one. And it's often done silently and without much thought even. And perhaps sometimes we find it later. But the thing in solving a problem and fixing something, the first step is to know that you have one. Because if you don't know that you have a problem, you will just keep limping through life, trying to get the best you can, and always wondering, why am I fumbling the handoff, so to speak. But the season of Advent comes with our reminders. Every week we get hope or peace or joy and then finally love. to recenter our lives around Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is and always has been and always shall be the ultimate fixer, the solver of our problems, the emancipator from our burdens. That's who Jesus Christ is. And as we accept and embrace Him more and more, meaning we grow in our relationship and our walk with Jesus Christ, we are not going to be surprised to find our peace coming up right alongside of it. Peace is a precious commodity. I think we've all been battered and abused and maybe even disabused of our fears over the last little bit. Our peace has evaporated. Why? Well, I mean, we can point at the obvious things. We're coming up on 2 years of pandemic life. 2 years in March, right? That's left us all a little fearful at times. And now with Omicron apparently poking its way through the global south, we've got another potentially peace-upsetting piece of the puzzle, so to speak. And even though we're outside of political season right now, do you really think things have become more unified? It seems to me that there's still an undercurrent of dissatisfaction with the other side, in fact, vilification of the other side of the political aisle. And the thing is, we may be in a detente at present, but it's always waiting to spill back over with the next tragedy or the next thing that happens. We in this church, it's interesting, have seen it move from one kind of community to another. And that is a wonderful thing because there's now more people around us that we can proclaim Jesus to. And yet we have to concede that the growing pains for us have been difficult. And so I ask you this morning as we think on this matter of peace and especially how Jesus Christ factors into it, how is your peace level? Is it high? My guess is it's probably not, but you may not even realize it. Kelly's not. Kelly's nodding her head. No, I'm not peaceful. Well, the thing about peace is we've got to locate it and to find it and to find our peace, we've got to do some work. I'm going to read a passage from Romans now. This is at the end of Romans, and Romans works through, man, is it a mountain of theology to work through. It's a beautiful and wonderful book, and it concludes in its final chapters with strong, strong encouragement. Hear now what Paul writes to the church at Rome in the 15th chapter, verses 8 through 13. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I was at my aunt and uncle's Episcopalian church for my grandmother's funeral. It was there that I got lost, as I'm also wont to do. Ask Natalie if you don't believe me. And I found myself wandering around this really, really big church. And I came to a stairwell, and there emblazoned on it were four simple words. No, N-O, Jesus. No, N-O, peace. And they were followed by big block letters that said, no, K-N-O-W, Jesus. No, K-N-O-W, peace. And it was in that moment of really worry and anxiety. I'm lost in this church and there's nobody around. How am I going to find my way back to my family? That I realized that I had become discombobulated and I wasn't able to think my way through anything. That happens to a lot of us, and you don't have to be lost in a giant Episcopal church to have it happen. You know, sometimes we can find ourselves without peace simply by living life on a daily basis. We didn't ask for a pandemic. I didn't. If you did, we got to talk after church, right? Because I didn't. The thing is, what we need to be aware of is that our tranquility levels are low because we are oftentimes only in the most tentative and tenuous relationship with our Lord and Savior. No, make no mistake about it. Jesus is how we find peace. It's how we find peace in our hearts. It's how we find peace in this world. And it's certainly how we find peace with 7 billion plus other people, all just as broken and sinful as we are. You see, Jesus gives us a pathway to peace, and it begins with a thorough investigation of the problems which upset or vex our serenity. What happens to us is that we fall prey and are victimized by that wonderful belief in the perfection of us. Now, what do I say? What do I mean by the perfection of us? A lot of you likely will say, well, I'm not a perfectionist. That's just look at my house or look at my kitchen. And I put that on me, right? The thing is, you know, those were the markers that I went around in the world thinking that I was far less was not a perfectionist. You know, the thing is, there's sometimes things that hide underneath the surface. So I'm just going to ask you a set of questions from Psychology Today. If you say yes to any of these, maybe think about your relationship with being perfect. Do you feel guilty when you relax knowing that you've got a lot to do? Do you ever feel dissatisfied or discontent with yourself or your situation? Do you have the tendency to see something wrong with things rather than what's right? Do you ever find yourself using these phrases regularly? I have to, I must, I ought to, I should be able to. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. Well, let me introduce you to the perfectionist that lies within. You've got one, most likely. We all do. And let me tell you, this is not something unknown to businesses. That you want to be a perfect person in all things is what they depend on. It's how cosmetics get sold. It's how better baseball bats flying their way, flying off the shelf. It's the means by which people maneuver and manipulate us. They know we all buy into this idea of the best experiences, the best in us, perfect. And the fact is, the chances are none of those products are ever going to make you perfect. Not just the chances are. They won't. It is, unfortunately, perfectionism is one of the most deleterious traits that you can have. It takes and robs your enjoyment of the things that you're good at and is constantly reminding you of the things that you're bad at. It is no place to be, and there's only one solution. If you're never going to be perfect, you better find a workaround. And good news, God already has. Jesus Christ. Romans reminds us, I read Romans 3, 21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Now that's great news couched in some pretty complicated words at times. But what Paul is getting at, he has gotten at throughout the length and breadth of this particular book. That there is no perfection on this side of heaven except for Jesus Christ. But thank God because he was perfect in his faithfulness to his Father, you and I don't have to be. to get into heaven and to enjoy the fullness of life here and now. That's important because that's what breaks the tie that we have to our perfection, the belief that we're going to do and be perfect. And it's also the thing that allows us to be forgiving of others. We have in that one simple awareness that Paul gave us here in Romans, but gives us time and time again, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means that we, in our imperfections, were embraced and loved as people that never could have been perfect, apart from God's ongoing pleasure. Presence, rather, in grace. Peace only comes as you grow more and acutely aware that you're not right where you want to be, and you never will. All right? That sounds frustrating, perhaps, but it is, in fact, the means by which you never tire and you never lose interest or excitement in life. If your mission is somehow to be a better Christian, if you know that you're still always going to have sin on this side of the hereafter, you can be engaged more deeply. You will be. Because you will know in your heart of hearts that I don't have to be perfect today. I don't have to go out and do my job 100%, except when you're working at Cook's, because then you have to, right? You don't have to be perfect because when it all comes down to it, you were never meant to be. That wasn't your destiny. If your destiny to be perfect and you worship a God, that'll happen, and it will in the kingdom of heaven. But here, we got work to do. And the presupposition isn't that we're going to be perfect. It's that we're going to be flawed and broken and hurting and confused at times. But that's when the church comes around us and prays for us and loves us and relieves us of our burdens. You know, this isn't rocket science, really. This is the way that Jesus Christ called us to be in community. A community of peace that when troubles or difficulty arises, the community surrounds with love and appropriate care. You don't have to be perfect because you got a church behind you that's going to lift you up when you're not. That's the meaning of why we gather. Because it's understood that when we go out of these doors, we're going to stub our toes. Just happens. We don't want it to. Not like we're seeking it, but it does. And that's the subtle thing that's going to remind us that we're not perfect and it will spiral us. But as Christians, we can simply embrace that what was and is and always shall be perfect is God, and that His perfect love of you and of I as sinners is the glue that holds us and binds us to not only this world but to one another. If you want peace, know yourself as a saved sinner in the loving and wonderful hands of a merciful and gracious God, and you will find a measure of peace. But you'll still have to exist in this world. You'll still have to find your own way. And that's a difficult thing to do, especially if you're still plagued by this idea that things just have to be right on point all the time. Because what are you going to do living in a world that the Bible tells us is in fact broken by sin? We, the Bible, puts forward that it is in that brokenness that the world's troubles come. And I got to tell you, I started and resented that idea for a lot of years, but I'm finding a lot of great peace in it now. Because what it tells me is that when I have a bad day, when I can't find the remote, despite looking for it for 30 minutes, right? What it tells me is this world isn't perfect. My goodness, do we need to hear that right now? My goodness. If we hold a level of perfection in this world, we will simply go crazy. It's broken by sin. It is not going to be wonderful. Georgia did lose to Alabama last night. If you're an Alabama fan, I apologize. The thing is, those things are going to happen. You're going to lose loved ones if you keep spinning on this earth. You're going to have hard times. You may lose a job. You may have less money than you think you ever were going to have. Those things all exist in the possibilities for every one of us, no matter how much money you have in the bank or no matter how much health you think you got in your body. Time and circumstance, Ecclesiastes, happen to us all. And yet what also happens to every one of us here that has accepted Jesus Christ is that wonderful day is going to come when our good works have gone on ahead of us. Revelation tells us that. And that we're going to hear the words that really our whole lives are about. The whole entirety of our lives comes down to the moment when we hear God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit say to us, just as was said to Jesus, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's perfection, and we don't have to be perfect to get there. You know why? Because we were never meant to be perfect on this world. Friends, the hardest one, though, I think of all, to find your peace, it's dealing with other people. You know what I mean? Sometimes other people can be a real pill. Sometimes other people can mess up a good time. Sometimes other people can be the very thing that you want to just wreck your head around because they make you so mad. But you don't because you're a Christian. You don't want to kill anybody, right? Other people, man, they're bad. Of course, you know what's coming next, right? We're all other people, right? There ain't no escape in that. And so when we interact and encounter someone whose lives or behaviors is striking us as incongruous to their nature or even wrong, then what we got to remember is, I'm an other person too. I might not have the problem that person has. I might not present with the same sin, sick symptoms, but I got the same disease. And somewhere, if you look in the category, you're going to catch me at something that I want to condemn in somebody else. And it's probably not going to take that hard a time. And that's why perfection is something we have to let go of. The idea that we are somehow better than other people is the hardest thing to remove in our hearts, and yet it's the most necessary. The scriptures remind us in Philippians, Paul says, think more highly of others than you do of yourself. We're reminded that it's as we forgive that we're forgiven. We hear Jesus Christ himself remind us, as he does so frequently, but didn't make it onto my paper. There. Jesus in Matthew 6:14 says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you." Colossians 3:13. "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." You see, we're the community that finds forgiveness the easiest because we're a people who love peace and don't want it disrupted. And the only way our peace is not going to be shattered is when we have a realistic view of ourselves and the world that we live in. And when we have those things, we'll have a realistic view of other people. And peace. Peace will proliferate not only in our souls, but in the world around us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer as we seek to find the Lord in our midst and pray over those thoughts and concerns that we have for ourselves, for the world around us, and for the people that we so dearly love. Let us pray. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you great thanks for this day. We rejoice in the blood of Jesus Christ that even though our sins are like scarlet, washes us white as snow. Heavenly Father, we thank you that although we labor with the idea of making everything just so, just right, just perfect for us, that your word reminds us that as we fall and fail and flail at those ill-gotten goals, that you will, in fact, not only forgive us, but you will hug us, love us, dust us off, and send us back on your work and your mission. Heavenly Father, let us all do that today. Let us look at our brothers and sisters in Christ who perhaps through the years or the ages have condemned for a particular sin or just maybe even not being quite like us. And let us, in our own knowledge of our sinfulness, let go of that thing that so disrupts our peacefulness. Heavenly Father, allow us to all be, act, see, and feel like the redeemed people we are, desirous only of sharing your gospel and your good news with the world around us. Heavenly Father, we think today of all the sick and the grieving and the lonely and the anxious. And so we pray for them. Today we pray by name for so many people on our prayer list. We pray for all of them, believing that God is moving in their lives and in their hearts. We pray, Heavenly Father, and rejoice with the marriage of Dolores Freeman to Rick Green. We pray that their bond and marital union would be a long and happy one. And we thank you for sharing them with us, their gifts and their love here at Cook's. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being, concluding by offering the prayer he taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting that we turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver.
Far away in the depths of my spirit today rose a melody sweeter than psalm. In celestial strains it increasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, you can have wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in faithfulness, billows of love. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Oh, soul, are you here without comfort? A rest, walking down the rough pathway of time. Make Jesus your friend ere the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept this sweet peace so sublime. Peace, you can have wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweet over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Oh yes, peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Praise God from heaven, all blessings. Praise Him, all creatures below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the so many blessings of our lives. And now, as we bring a portion of those gifts back unto you, we just ask that you bless and sanctify this offering, using it to do your work and your will in this world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
We seek to find peace in ways that we never will get there. Well, it seems like there was a movie, I don't think I ever saw it in the 70s, called Looking for Mr. Goodbar or something like that. And the idea was you were going to find a perfect mate. Well, you yourself are never going to be perfect. I'm never going to be perfect. When we search for perfection, we end up busted and bruised and broken. But instead, when we search for and find the Prince of Peace who makes himself known in our midst by the power of the Holy Spirit, we rejoice, abound in hope, and overflow in love. And so now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen. We end our service now. You can welcome to hang out. We're going to have a congregational meeting in about a minute or two. And so let's let the folks that want to go depart, and then we'll call ourselves to order and make this magic happen. All right?